time to get started again. Brother Hill will come now and affirm the scriptures teach that baptism to the believer is for the remission of sin. Brother Hill.
Ladies and gentlemen, moderators, Mr. Holland. Again, welcome. We're going to continue with my affirmative. I'm in the affirmative tonight. He's supposed to follow me. He's followed what I did yesterday. Didn't really touch very much on what we talked about tonight. It's not going to be very helpful because some people weren't here yesterday. He's supposed to follow what I did today, sir. Yesterday, you were in the affirmative, and if you noticed, I followed all your arguments in the amount of time I had. I followed every single one I possibly could in the time allotted. And if there weren't any arguments, I hit. It's because of lack of time, not because of lack of trying. Acts chapter 2 is where we left off. Acts chapter 2, sir, you might want to notice this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel do assuredly that what? He's Lord in Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. There's their hearing. What comes by hearing? The Word of God. By hearing the Word of God, you have faith, Romans 10, 17. They were pricked in the heart. Their heart reacted to the Word. They believed it. And they want to know, we murdered the Savior, what do we do? What kind of faith did they have? What kind of heart? They were willing to do whatever God said, whatever you say. And here's your opportunity, Peter. Oh, you don't need to do anything. No, you're already saved because you believe. You have that heartfelt conviction, right? Well, what did Peter say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Not one of you is left out of this command. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember calling on the name of the Lord? He brought up that argument. Here it is. Here's the name of the Lord attached to what? Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord for the remission of your sins. That's what it's for. That's why you're saved. It's not that the waters wash away your baptism. We made that argument before. We already answered that. What is it? For the remission of sins, just like Jesus said, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto, for, same word base, remission of sins. Now, he didn't touch this. Is it because of or in order to? Which is it? Now, we know Jesus died in order to obtain the remission of sins. Now, he says, well, the gospel's always been around. Well, yes, it was preached by promise, but when was it brought into reality? When did Jesus shed his blood under the remission of sins? Now, if the remission of sins was already there, why did Jesus come and have to die? You see, something new is here, Hebrews 10. Yes, a new and living way. Amen, Peter. Amen, Jesus. It's a new and living way. Jesus came and shed his blood. That was new. It hadn't happened before. Romans chapter 4, again, for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was for righteousness. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean it was in order to obtain? Or does it mean because he is already righteous, then he believed God? Are you saved before you believe? You make the argument with ace, but it doesn't necessarily mean in order to in Acts 2:38. Well, I guess it doesn't mean in order to in Romans 4. He believed because he was already saved. I guess it means the same thing if it's the same word in different passages. Now, notice my opponent's version. What would he have to say, Abraham say, if he followed Mr. Holland? Mr. Holland says, no, you don't need to obey before and without works, before and without baptism. So what kind of faith would Mr. Abraham have to have? God said, go, Genesis 12. Before Genesis 15, where God said he believed God and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, Genesis 12, three chapters and 20 years before, God said, go. Abraham did what? Oh, at the point of faith I'm saved, I'm already in the promised land. No, sir. We know in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, Abraham went. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, he did that. Tell me he wasn't justified by faith when he listened to the Word of God. Genesis 22, later on, says that he was told to offer Isaac. Abraham, what would he say if he followed Mr. Holland? But God, you know I don't have to do anything. You know those sacrifices and offerings that were for sin under the Old Testament system and before that? Well, that's not going to save me. I believe in the Christ. He said, offer. What did Abraham have to do? Faith of Abraham. He was justified by faith. Romans 4, verse 3. That passage in Genesis 15, justified by faith, is reckoned to him for righteousness. Well, in the context of bringing that passage up, Abraham's justification by faith, we read Romans chapter 3, just a few verses before that, chapter 4. The law of faith is how we're going to be justified, Jews and Gentiles. Now tell me, sir, there's not a law that saves us. He says, I'm making one up. Well, I made it up. Yeah, I made it up right there when Paul did. If Paul made it up, then I made it up. If Paul got it from God, that's where I got it, because he started before me, before I was ever born. Paul wrote it down, didn't he? There's the law, sir. It's a law of faith, conditions, terms of faith. And in the same chapter where it says Abraham was justified by faith, it says he's the father of all them that believe, period, end of story. No, father of all them that believe that, righteousness. What are we talking about? Salvation. Righteousness might be reckoned unto them, too. Father of those who what? Here's our word, walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham. Now here is an inspired commentary. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, says, what kind of faith brought righteousness to Abraham? Steps of faith, and you want to be his children, you want to be righteous too? Walk in those steps like Abraham did. That's how justification comes, not by a dead, disobedient faith, but by a living and acting obedient faith, according to the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. I've just got a summary here. You know, we can quibble sometimes. People quibble about scriptures. But here is a very consistent issue right here. I've counted 64 translations. There's probably more, and I haven't searched them all. 64 translations. Not a one of them says, repent and be baptized because of the remission of sins. It's all for, in order to, for a release, for the purpose, unto, into, to, with, a view to, so that you may have your sins forgiven, in order to obtain, in order to have your sins. All of them indicate what? Purpose. Repent and be baptized. Why, Peter? Purpose. Every single one of these translations. Consistent as can be. You want to tell us it's different? Then you're going to have a lot of argument with a lot of people who don't even necessarily believe baptism for the remission of sins, but their scholarship echoes and repeats what the Scripture says. Acts 22:16. And now, why tarriest thou? Why are you delaying? Why are you putting this off, Paul? Arise, be baptized, and what? Call the name of the Lord, because your sins are already forgiven. Be baptized because your sins are already forgiven. No, be baptized and wash away. You got them still, Paul. You got to get rid of them. How do I do that? Call on his name. Well, how do I call on his name? Be baptized. That's what you do. When do you have your sins washed away? Ananias, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the record of the Holy Spirit, said you need to be baptized. What washes away our sins? Don't tell me it's water. Don't accuse me of believing water. No, sir. Revelation 1, verse 5 says Jesus Christ washed us. Well, what do you do in baptism? Well, you think that's water washing away sins? You think I believe that? No. It's when your sins are washed away. But what takes away the sins? Washed us from our sins in His own blood. Revelation 1, verse 5. When you're baptized, you contact the blood. Jesus applies His blood at that point. Because what? You're appealing to His name. Now, did Doug Hill, did he say, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of Doug Hill's doctrine, right? No, he didn't. Calling on His name. Whose name is that? We call on His name to be saved, don't we? Yes, we do. How do we do that? In baptism. Now, Mr. Holland would probably teach this. I'm sure he wouldn't have a lick of problem with this. You need to call on the name of the Lord, then have your sins taken away, then later you can be baptized. He came up here and said that today. You need to call on the name of the Lord, have your sins taken away, and you don't need that baptism. That's what he said. But look at the order in Acts 22, verse 16. It says, arise, be baptized, wash away the sins. Then, what are you doing in this process? Calling on the name of the Lord. You have to be what? Baptized, then wash away. He says, wash away, be baptized. Who's telling the truth? Paul or Mr. Holland? The Bible or Mr. Holland? Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, here's our word, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death, therefore, what does this mean, into, baptized into His death, into Christ? Well, we say by Doug Hill, did Doug Hill make this up? No. Paul wrote this by inspiration. It's into Christ, into His death. Jesus said His brother was death, by the way. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that, here's a purpose, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. You want newness of life? It's on the other side of baptism. That's what it is. You've got to go down into the water before you can be raised up from the water in the likeness of what? In the likeness of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Now, you tell me we're saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'll bring up yesterday. You said that. I'll bring it up too. Yes, we're saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? We contact that death, burial, and resurrection in baptism. He says, for if we have been planted together. If, Mr. Holland, that means if you're not, then you don't get these blessings. Here's your condition. Here's your negative. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of the resurrection. Now, he doesn't state the negative there, but you know the logical conclusion, don't you? If you do this, then we'll be partakers of the resurrection. Natural, necessary conclusion. If you don't, you won't. It's that simple. If you do, you get it. If you don't, you won't. It's that simple. He doesn't have to state the negative. It's necessarily implied. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. What? Into Christ. Buried with him. Planted together. You're crucified with him. Your old man of sin. Put away. When? Baptism. What happens, verse 7? You're freed from sin. If you missed it once, here it is in verse 7. There it is. Romans chapter 6, he goes on with this explanation. He talks about the fact that you are the servants of the one whom you obey, whether it's of righteousness, obedience unto righteousness. Well, I didn't think you could do that, according to Mr. Holland. Or of sin unto death. He says, well, if you try to obey righteousness, then you're going to get death. Well, Paul said, no, if you obey righteousness, what do you get? Righteousness. God be thanked that you were servants of sin. What state were they in? Notice this. This is the key point right here. What changes our relationship, Mr. Harlan? Faith comes from our heart, Romans 10. Confession changes our allegiance. I'm not going to follow the devil anymore. I believe he's Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm going to follow him. Okay? Well, what changes our relationship? I'm a sinner, Paul. You're a servant of sin, he says. But you have obeyed from the heart. Well, it was at the point of faith, Paul. No. You obeyed. You did something from the heart. Well, just something I made up? No, that form of teaching which was delivered unto you. Where do you think they got it? The Apostle Paul, brought it by the Holy Spirit. Paul taught them the truth. From their heart they believed it and they obeyed it. And he says then, being, notice this, this was my proposition and this contradicts yours. You said before and without, Paul says then. That means when. When, Paul? Then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You were a sinner, now you're a saint. When did that happen? Obeyed the truth from the heart. That's what it is, right there in a nutshell. That's the whole answer to this whole debate. What changes? Faith changes your heart. It's from the heart that you believe. Repentance changes your lifestyle. If you truly repented of lying, you're going to stop doing that. Confession changes your allegiance. You profess, I'm going to follow the Lord. He's the master. I need to submit to him. But what changes our relationship? Romans 6, talking of baptism, verse 18, being then made free from sin. Your relationship changes. You're no longer a sinner. You're redeemed by the blood of Christ. Who do you bear it? Romans chapter 6, we've seen this illustration. Jesus died, he was put in a tomb, he was buried, and then was raised from the dead, is what the text says. Accordingly, the passage tells us that we are dead in our sins. We are buried. Notice, where are we? We're dead, just like Jesus was dead when he went in the tomb. We're dead when we go in the tomb with baptism. We're buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. That is the Bible picture. What actually takes place, you physically go in the water. But what spiritually really takes place is your relationship change. You come up to walk in newness of life. That's what actually takes place in baptism. But notice this, Bible teaching, you're dead, you bury the dead, rise to new life, just like the resurrection of Christ. Baptist teaching is what? Those who have life at the point of faith are then buried in baptism. Now, if you take a live man and put him in the grave, what's going to happen? He's going to die. He's going to die in the grave, isn't he? So you kill the living, and what is that? Spiritual murder. If they're alive in Christ and they're put in the grave, and you're supposed to rise to walk in newness of life, well, what did you kill and what are you walking in now? Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. How do we do that? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, you've got to believe before you can call on him. You've got to know who he is and what he says. How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? You know what? I think he's talking about a third person, third party here, so we don't have to believe, right? His argument yesterday, if you need somebody to baptize you, that's a third party. Therefore, you're going to create a priesthood, and that's not right, so you don't need to be baptized. But Paul says here, you have to have somebody preach to you so you can believe and be saved. A third party so you can believe and be saved. Therefore, you don't need to believe because you have a third party, right? Made that argument yesterday. But he says you've got to believe that they have not all what? Well, I thought you were talking about faith, Paul. That they have not all obeyed the gospel. Mr. Holland says you don't need to do that to be saved. Paul talking about being saved, calling on his name, you got to believe and you got to what? Obey. That's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 10. That's what he talks about. Calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. We're saved by that. A lot of passages say that. But what is connected to the name of the Lord? Did you notice that, Mr. Holland? Acts chapter 2, baptism for remission of sins. Baptism and rejoicing after he comes up and goes his way. Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. Baptism whereby we're saved. Acts chapter 11, the words of Peter would be whereby Cornelius would be saved. What words would Peter command? Baptism. Baptism in order to be saved. Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? He told them, here's what you need to do to believe on the Lord. He included baptism because he baptized them. Baptism in light. Baptism in sins removed. Calling on the name of the Lord. All these are in the name of Jesus, according to Scriptures. Yes, we're saved by the name of the Lord. Galatians 3, 26. Now, he brought up in one of his points, Galatians 3, verse 29, talking about we need to be the children of Abraham. It's according to promise. Well, didn't you know, sir, just a few verses before your verse 29, Paul somewhere got the idea to write that you are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For, here's your explanation, your reason. Here's how you're children. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, he tried to go to Ephesians 4 and other passages and say, well, you put on Christ after you're saved. Paul didn't know that. Shame on Paul. Ephesians chapter 2, by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. What kind of works are being condemned here? Human works, man, works of man's creation. And he gets up here and he tells me and he tells you that God is creating his own law, his own system. He wants you to work your way to heaven. No, sir. You can't create your own system. Notice before Doug Hill was ever born, 1971, if you want to know. Long before I was ever born, this scripture was here, as we just saw, be baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. Long before I ever got here. I didn't make that up. It's not my system. It's not a human system. Where did Paul get that? He got it from God, of course. Okay. By grace through faith. You know, they were saved by grace through faith. We notice that. Well, how were they saved by grace through faith? They heard the word. They believed it, repented, confessed, and they were baptized. Then Paul writes them and tells them, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, you are saved by grace through faith. Not a lick of difference between what he wrote with the Galatians. You are children now. How? Because you were baptized. You are saved by grace through faith. Why? You look back at Acts 19, they were baptized because they obeyed the gospel. Grace through faith. Here's the principle in the Old Testament. He says, I don't believe the Old Testament. Don't you believe that? Who's been starting off tonight using Old Testament passages? Yours truly. Here's another one. Walls of Jericho. Did they fall by grace through faith, Mr. Holland? Walls of Jericho? Yes, they did. By grace through faith. He says, now Jericho was straightly shut up. They knew what the Israelites were there for. And he says, Lord says to Joshua, I have given, there's the gift, here's a free gift, have given unto thy hand Jericho. Okay, Lord, I'm going to sit down on the curb and wait for it. I'm going to sit on the curb and wait for it, right? No, God says to him, Joshua didn't make this up, God says this to him, ye shall go around about the city once, thus shalt thou do. Lord, I don't have to do anything. God said, yeah, you do. He goes on to say, the 7 days, seven times, blow the trumpet, and notice this, and it shall come to pass when, before and without. That's his proposition. No, when they make a long blast at the ram's horn, the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And you know what? Hebrews 11 echoes that truth. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down when, before and without, compassing the city. No, sir. After they had been compassed about for 7 days. That's what you see in Scriptures. The walls of Jericho fall because of obedient faith. Now, my opponent will have to accuse, if he's going to be consistent, he's going to have to accuse Joshua and Israel of trusting in their works because they had to do something for the walls to fall. But Joshua praised the Lord after he obeyed the Lord. He praised the Lord. And if he can do it after obeying what God says, then after I'm baptized, I can praise the Lord for my salvation. Naaman, cleansed of his leprosy, 2 Kings 5. Elisha, here's the prophet of God, spoke God's word, go and wash. What does and mean there, by the way? Go and wash, it means they're both together, they're linked. In the Jordan River, seven times. What does that mean, the Jordan has power to cleanse lepers? Is that how all the lepers that touch it now are going to be saved that way and cleansed of the leprosy? No, he told this to a specific fellow, and he said, "By flesh shall come again." But Naaman, now he must have been listening to Mr. Harlan over here. "Oh, behold, I thought," he had his own way, "I thought he'd come out here, call upon the name of the Lord, and whoop, that's it. Right? Call upon the name of the Lord. You don't have to do anything." Well, he's been listening to Mr. Harlan, and he went on his way, didn't he? "Are not Avenue and Paul Paul rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel?" There's no power in that Jordan River. Must have been listening to Mr. Harlan. What happened? He went away in a rage. He didn't listen to the Word of God. He didn't obey the Word of God. And while he did that, he still kept his leprosy. Naaman then, his servants, next verse, his servants came there and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet did do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean?" Isn't that simple, Naaman? Shouldn't you just do what he says? That's just so hard to do, isn't it? So hard to comprehend. But just do what he says. It's a simple thing. Naaman, listen. Then when he danced and dipped himself, and the sixth time he came up clean, right? He didn't fully, no. First time, or just at the moment of faith. No. He dipped himself seven times, just like according to the saying of the man of God. By faith, Naaman dipped, and when he did what God said, then he was cleansed. And when he did that, notice who he gave glory to. There is no God in all the earth but in Israel. He obeyed, and he didn't say, "Oh, my works have saved me." He said, "God saved me, and I know it." Naaman cleansed of his leprosy. Of course, if he listened to Mr. Harlan, here's the position, my opponent would have to accuse Naaman of trusting in his works and in the water salvation. You know, that's what Naaman thought at first. "I thought it would be this way." That was human works. He thought it would be that way. It's not God's way. And he said, "Oh, but the water, that can't help me." He thought about her, just like Mr. Harlan. But that didn't work, did it? He had to do what God said, even though it didn't seem to make sense to him at first. And after he was cleansed, he gave glory to God. All works excluded Mr. Harlan. I know I listened to you. It was either yesterday or on a previous debate I listened to. You said at one point that every work, all works, there's no works that can justify us. Well, I'd like to hear you say it again. If that's the case, you go to Galatians 2, it says, not by works. I agree. It's not by works that are mentioned there. Works of the law. You finish the sentence. Titus chapter 3 and Ephesians 2, not by works, not of works. What kind of works there? Works of men, works of boasting, works of man's creation and merit. That's not going to justify us. I agree with those verses. Don't have a problem with them. But are all works excluded? Well, if so, then every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness, is not accepted of him. Right? No, it says it is accepted. Here's how you get accepted with God. Fear, there's your faith. You believe in what God says about coming judgment, and you live according to what he says is righteous. That's right, it is right there. A living, active faith. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God." Well, works don't save you. No works save you, Jesus. No, Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that ye," who does that? "Ye believe on him whom he has sent." You need to do what? You need to believe. That's the work of God. If you do the works of God, you're going to be saved. But Mr. Holland would tend to think, no, all works are excluded. We'd like to hear about that. What kind of works? Works of men? Works of the devil? Works of the old law? Those don't save you. What does? Colossians chapter 2, we mentioned this yesterday, mentions that baptism, you're buried with him in baptism, and you're raised with him by faith in the operation, in the working of God. Just like faith is a work of God, Colossians 2 says that baptism is by faith, we're saved by grace through faith, by faith in the work of God. When you submit to baptism, I'm earning my salvation, right? That's what he thinks. Paul says, no, when you submit to baptism, it's saying, "Lord, I want you to save me. God, work on me, please." That's what baptism is. God says, "That's when I work on you. That's when I operate on you." And we see all these other passages. Beliefs of work. Law of faith, Romans 3. Law of the Spirit of. Now, he brought up Romans chapter 8. You've got to have the Holy Spirit in you. Well, didn't you know, sir, the Holy Spirit talking about dwelling in you later on in Romans chapter 8 said in verse 2, the beginning of the chapter, there's a law of the Spirit of life. Now, if you're not saved by law, I'm sure the Holy Spirit would like to know about that. Wouldn't he? Obedience of the gospel, Romans chapter 1, verse 5. That's where Paul's purpose and apostleship was for. He wants you to obey the gospel. But when Mr. Holland gets done, you don't care about baptism anymore than you care about the man in the moon. Obedience to the truth, 1 Peter chapter 1. We dealt with that as well. When are we saved? Colossians 2. We brought this up. In whom you're also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Who's doing that? God. God doesn't need hands to do things, does he? God's doing this. In the putting off. Well, I thought that had something to do with living a Christian life after you're already saved. No, the putting off of the body of the sins by what? The circumcision of Christ. So what's going on here? I've got sin in me. How do I get rid of it? God's got to take it away. He's got to cut it away. Well, when do I do it? When do you do that, Lord? When do you do that, Christ? Buried with him in baptism. Wherein also you're raised with him through the faith of, in the operation. Through the faith of the operation. There's the working of God who has raised him from the dead. And you, what? Being dead in your sins. Oh, I was already made alive from sin. According to Mr. Howard, no. You were buried, what? Because you were dead in your sins. And in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he had quickened you, that's made alive, together with him, having what? What are we talking about here with baptism and the work of God? Forgiven you all your trespasses. Was Paul mistaken again, Mr. Holland? We've seen six passages. Mark 16, Acts 2, Romans 6, Acts 22, 1 Peter 3, Colossians 2. Six passages that expressly tell us salvation comes when and with. Not before and without, when and with baptism. Where's the one that says baptism does not now save you? What verse says that? You're saved by faith, yes. Does it say before and without baptism? Not a one of them does, Mr. Hollett. Not a one of them does. We see other passages illustrate that salvation comes at the point of baptism. Acts 16, the Philippian jailer. I didn't go into detail with this. But the Philippian jailer, when he asked what he should be doing to be saved, what did Paul tell him? You need to believe in the Lord. Well, how do I do that? He taught him the word of the Lord, and he taught him baptism as well. Acts chapter 18, the Corinthians as well. That many of them were baptized. Many of the Corinthians were baptized. Well, it wasn't Paul that did it. We know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul didn't personally baptize all those people, but they got baptized by somebody, didn't they? Well, why'd they do that? What do you think these other passages tell us? What's the purpose of baptism? We have still more necessary implications, necessary conclusions that tell us the same thing. That salvation is when and with baptism. Acts chapter 8, Philip in Samaria was preaching Jesus, or teaching people about Jesus and the kingdom to come, or the kingdom, not the kingdom to come, but it was come already. But he was teaching them about Jesus, and he was baptizing people in the name of the Lord. Remember, you're saved in the name of the Lord? The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. And he says, again, I don't believe the Old Testament. Well, here's an example of how you believe the Old Testament. And the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53. He didn't know who it applied to. Philip came along and preached unto him Jesus. What's that mean to preach Jesus? Oh, just the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Well, what did he teach him? You need to be baptized, because he learned it from somebody, didn't he? What did he learn about baptism? What did that eunuch learn? Oh, what hinders me? What keeps me from being baptized? He thought it was important. Mr. Holland says, no, it's not. What about Acts 11? Cornelius. He was going to hear words whereby he would be saved. He says, I didn't touch this yesterday. I answered that. I put a chart up on it. Here's another one. Acts chapter 11, verse 14 says that Peter was going to tell Cornelius words whereby he would be saved. And if you remember, Mr. Holland, Acts 10, verse 47, verse 48, here's the answer to it. He was commanded by Peter what words whereby he would be saved. Be baptized in the name of the Lord. Words whereby saved, what words? I command you to be baptized in the name of the Lord. There's your answer. Acts 19, verse 5, remember the Ephesians were saved by grace through faith? They had already been baptized. Galatians were told, you put on Christ in baptism. All these indicate what about baptism? It's just not important. Well, God has joined man, but not man put asunder. That's the principle of Matthew 19. We're not talking about marriage, divorce, marriage tonight. But the principle that God put together, don't you break apart, don't cut it asunder. Baptism and salvation, Mark 16, 16. Entering the kingdom, remission of sins, gift of the Holy Spirit, contacting his death and blood, Romans 6, new life, putting on Christ, freedom from sin, being a child of God. Baptism connected to all that. Now tell me, it doesn't save you. You know we're not done? Words whereby you'll be saved, the command to be baptized. Name of the Lord. How many times is baptism in the name of the Lord in the Bible? When your sins are washed away, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, to obtain or the answer of the how to get a good conscience, the one body, enter into the body of Christ. He's the Savior of the body, by the way. Sanctification and cleansing, Ephesians 5. Regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. Washing of regeneration, there's your baptism. Access by the Spirit, you were washed. Your body was washed. What happened, by the way, Hebrews 10, verse 22, when your body was washed, the blood was sprinkled. Not a physical action, sir. It's a spiritual birth. Jesus spiritually and really applies that when you are baptized. Every spiritual blessing. Not a one of them outside of Christ. You cannot be saved outside of Christ. Everything's there in Christ. How do I get into Christ? This is what the Bible says. This is what the creed book, if you will, of Paul the Apostle, that about the Holy Spirit, says be baptized into Christ, Romans 6 and Galatians 3. That's what he believed. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's the point I want to emphasize. 1 Peter 3. That word, the answer of a good conscience. What does that mean there? Some versions say the answer, King James Version, for example. But when you look up other translations that are reliable translations, American Standard, Revised Standard, Young's Literal, says the interrogation, the appeal to, or appeal to God for, the question of. And when you look up the definition of the word, it's called an inquiry, to ask for, and it means properly, according to Barnes, means properly a question, an inquiry. So in baptism, 1 Peter 3:21, says baptism doth also now save you, not the cleansing of the filth of the flesh, not the power of the water. It's an appeal. It's an asking of God. I want a clean conscience. He says the water of baptism don't touch your heart. Peter says, yes, it does. You want a clean conscience? How do I do that, Lord? Baptism now saves you. You want a clean conscience? Do what God says. You'll have a clean conscience. And He'll pardon you of all the stains and sins. Brought up yesterday, and I want to answer this today. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11. He brought up and said Paul was not sent to baptize. Well, look at the context. I have been declared unto me of you by my brethren, but there of the house of Corinth, there are contentions. There were problems going on there. Okay.